Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Yong Chen. Today, I'm going to talk about using eddy covariance data for calibrating hydrology models for assessing land use change implications in the Texas Highlands. The Texas Highlands is one of the important agriculture regions in the U.S., and the cotton is one of the major crops grow in this region. About 25% of the cotton is produced in this region. The Texas Highlands is characterized by high temperature and low precipitation, and it experienced recurring droughts in the recent years. The Ogallala Aquifer is a major source for of the irrigation water in this region, and about 97% of water withdrawn from the, this aquifer is used for crop irrigation. However, groundwater levels and quality are experiencing a continued decline and deterioration. In addition, the USD also estimated about 11% of existing cropland and pasture in this region will be used, will be required for field use. Rapid decline in groundwater levels and frequent occurrence of droughts and the requirement for biofuel production may induce land use change from high water demanding cotton to cellulosic bioenergy crops, and a potential land use change from cotton to bioenergy crops may play a significant role in addressing the challenges being faced in this region. The objectives in this study are to calibrate the SWOT model against the observed daily ET and bi-week crop biomass data using the single HRU method. The HRU indicated the hydrological response unit. We also want to assess the hydrological impact of land use change from cotton to perennial grass and to annual biomass sorghum. We also want to estimate the biofuel production and the proposed land use changes. In this study, we have four study sets. They are dryland cotton, irrigated biomass sorghum, and dryland blue stem. They are located in hail and flood quantities in Texas. The average annual precipitation is about 514 millimeter, and Tmax and Tmin are 23 and 8 Celsius. The major soil type is Pullman clay loam. For the field data collection, the eddy covariance flood tower was established in four fields in 2013, and they took continuous measurement for the wind speed, solar radiation, and precipitation, air temperature, and ET from 2013 to 2015. The above ground biomass were collected at 2 weeks intervals during crop growing season, and the daily wind speed, solar radiation, precipitation, and temperatures were used as the model inputs, and the observed daily ET and the bi-week crop biomass were used to calibrate the crop the SWOT model. So a little bit of background about the SWOT model. The SWOT model is a river basin or watershed scale model. It usually used to simulate the, a large watershed. But in this study, we want to test whether we can use the SWOT model, the watershed scale model, for the field simulations. For this part is an example watershed. For the SWOT model, it will further delineate the watershed into many sub-basins. And for each sub-basin, it will further delineate it into many HRUs. And HRU is a homogeneous unit. It just has one land use and one soil and one soil slope. So okay, with this background, we designed a single HRU method. Just like I said, the HRU is a homogeneous unit, so it is a good representation for the field conditions. So in our study, we want to use this single HRU method to and in the watershed scale model to simulate the field conditions. So in this case, we set up each field as one HRU, as a single HRU. for each field, and we want to test whether we can use a watershed scale model to do the field simulations. So this table shows the parameters we adjusted for the SWOT model calibration. We adjusted 4 hydrologic parameters, and also we adjusted several parameters for the crop database for cotton, biomass sorghum, and pollute dam. For the model performance statistics, we use NAS Sutcliffe efficiency. It ranged from negative infinity to 1. When indicated best fit, we also use R square and percent bears. Absolute value equal to 0 indicated the best fit. In this slide, it shows the SWOT daily ET calibration in the dryland cotton field. The top graph is the calibration period. The bottom graph is the validation period. And the blue line is the simulated ET, and the red line is the observed ET. The black bar is the precipitation on a daily basis. So based on the model performance statistics, we can see the simulated ET matched well with the observed ET in the dryland cotton field. We further calibrated the daily ET in the irrigated cotton field. We also got a reasonable match. However, for this part, we found a mismatch in this part. It mainly because we use the auto-irrigation function in the SWOT model, and it will apply irrigation water whenever the crop undergo water stress. So, however, in the real world, the producers usually apply the water maybe 1 week or based on their experience. So this may induce this mismatch for the daily ET calibration and the irrigated conditions. This slide shows the daily ET calibration under the irrigated biomass sorghum field. During the model calibration period, we got a good match, and we also achieved a reasonable match for the validation period. But the same problem, like I said, there is a shortcoming for the auto-irrigation function in the SWOT model, so it may result this mismatch. Finally, we calibrated the daily ET and the dryland blue dam field, and we achieved a reasonable match for the daily ET calibration. Okay, after calibrating the daily ET, we further calibrated the SWOT model for the crop biomass predictions. In this figure, it shows the biomass prediction in the dryland cotton field. Once again, the blue bar is the simulated above ground biomass, and the red bar is the observed above ground biomass. We can see the simulated biomass fit well with the observed biomass. We also get a very good match for the irrigated cotton field. We got an excellent match for the irrigated biomass sorghum field. And we got we achieved a reasonable match for the big blue stem field for the crop biomass predictions. Okay. After we calibrating the SWOT model for the ET and the crop biomass predictions, we want to use this model to do some scenarios. And in this scenario analysis, we want to extend our simulation period to we want to study the long-term impacts. We use the 3 years data to calibrate the model, and then we want to extend the time period to do a long-term scenario analysis. In this slide, it showed the land use change from cotton to blue stem and the biomass sorghum on the biomass and the biofuel production. From this table, we can see if we change the land use from cotton to blue stem, it will produce about 3 megagram per hectare biomass. And however, if the land use changed from cotton to biomass sorghum, it may produce 11 megagram per hectare biomass under the dryland condition and 16 under the irrigated condition. In addition, we also analyzed the impacts of land use change on hydrology. So this table showed if the land use change from dryland cotton to dryland bluestem, it will slightly increase the evapotranspiration, but it will decrease the surface runoff. And the same trend was found under the dryland sorghum scenario. And under the irrigated condition, we can see if we change the land use from irrigated cotton to irrigated bluestem, it will decrease the irrigation water use by 16%, and also it will decrease evapotranspiration and the surface runoff. The same trend was found under the irrigated biomass sorghum field, but the change percentage is a little bit small. Okay, some conclusions. Reasonable mesh was found for the simulated ET and observed ET, and good fit was achieved for biomass prediction at four fields. Our results support the SWOT. Single HIU method can be used for the field scale simulations. And under the land use change scenarios, the groundwater use was reduced by 11% and 48% under the irrigated biomass sorghum and the irrigated bluestem scenarios, about 11% and 16, about 11 and 16 microgram per hectare of biomass could be produced if cotton was replaced by dryland and irrigated biomass sorghum. And due to the lower groundwater use, greater biofuel production, and lower surface runoff potential, biomass sorghum was identified as a good bioenergy crop to replace cotton in this region. And the bluestem could be an alternative with the consideration of water resources protection. Finally, this research is supported by the USDA NIFA project. I'm glad to take any questions. Thank you.